Let's open our Bibles this morning. For those of you who may be visiting, we start our lessons with reading this particular verse and verses in John chapter 3 and verse starting in verse 16. And let's read that together. If you have a Bible, you can read along. If you don't, look along with someone. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." If you would, turn over to John chapter 8 and look at verse 31 and 32. Feel impressed to read that? Let's read that this morning together. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. It says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I would say that's conditional. We have to continue in his word. Then something happens where it says, we were what? You are my disciples indeed. And then you shall what? Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So often we're looking for pastors, prophets, apostles, to set us free. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. They do operate at the direction of God, and they're here to help us. These gifts are set in the body for that purpose. But this right here says, when you don't have that available to you, this says right here, if you'll continue in his word, then are ye his disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. His word and truth in his word will set you free. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Does that excite you? Sure does me. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to touch on identification today in light of the name of Jesus. And so when we talk about identification, we're talking about our complete union with him in his substitutionary sacrifice. We're talking about a complete union with Christ. Now, we've been looking at various scriptures. I'd ask you to turn over to Galatians chapter 2, and let's look at verse 20. It says, "I am crucified with Christ." See, sometimes we just run right by that. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. You know, we're running right alongside, right? And we just kind of repeat it like a parrot almost. But let's slow down and read this. It says, "I am crucified with Christ." That means when he was crucified, so was I. That's called identification, isn't it? I identified with his crucifixion. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we can see here that there's some identification with his crucifixion. The New Century Version expresses it this way: I was put to death on the cross with Christ, and I do not live anymore. It is Christ who lives in me. See, I was put to death on the cross with him. The Complete Jewish Bible says it this way: when the Messiah was executed on the stake as a criminal, I was too. See, when he was judged, so was I. When he was crucified and judged, so was I. You see. So that's why we can say, it is no longer I that liveth, it's Christ who lives in me. Romans chapter 6, let's look over here for a moment. Just going to be presenting this morning here. Romans chapter 6, so you can just walk down this with me here this morning. Romans chapter 6, that's why when we look at Mark 16. Oh, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to make a point here. In Mark 16, it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It's talking about being baptized into Christ, baptized into him. Now, Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 3, it says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of God, the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. See, when you begin to identify, you'll shake off some of this stuff that's been hanging on you. You've already been delivered from it. That's what the scripture says. We've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. We've been buried with him in Christ. This is what it says here. That just like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together, see, planted together, in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Why? Because we died with him. We were judged with him. We were buried with him. And we rose with him. Hallelujah. And because of that, we have newness of life. I'm sorry, this thing is sliding around here today. So, sorry about that. Glory to God. Let me read verse 6 again. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. What are we talking about? That old sin nature. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a creation. Old things have passed away. That means your old nature, your old man has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So you are a new creature. Hallelujah. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. See, there's a choice here. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You're free. You're free from sin. I said you're free from sin. You're free because he defeated the devil in hell. Now think about this. If you were crucified with him and you were buried with him and he spoiled principalities, that means you were with him when he spoiled those principalities. You were with him in hell. He took your sins. Amen. So that means that when we can say that I am an overcomer because I have a new nature. I have a new identity. It is no longer I that live, but it is what? Christ who lives in me. I have a new identity. I don't have to sin. I am free from sin. That's like a person who's incarcerated. If the payment has been paid and you're free, you don't have to stay in jail. If you've been set free, but you can want to. You can say, well, you know, I feel comfortable in here. You know, a lot of inmates, there are inmates that can't handle life on the outside, and they do something to go back in because it's comfortable, right? So you can want to go back into that life, but you've been set free. And that's why I wanted to read that scripture this morning that said, if you continue in his word, then are you his disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth of who you are in Christ, what you have and what you've become will set you free. Hallelujah. Verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, see we are, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Well, let me ask this question. If death has no more dominion over him, and I am in him, and he's in me, then that means death has no dominion over me. And if death has no dominion over me, then the author of death has no dominion over me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Death, say death, has no more dominion over me. Hallelujah. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon, see, this is right here, right here, right here. Likewise, Reckon ye, who's ye? Me. Also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. That's what we just said. Death and sin has no dominion over me, because I'm dead to sin. But alive, what does it say? Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. How am I alive to God? Through Jesus Christ. Let not sin, so we have a choice to make here, right? It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're free. We're a free people. And we are going to be confronted, like it said in Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness. So there are wicked spirits that are ranged around in this atmosphere, this first heaven, where we wrestle, we fight, but we don't fight in our own strength. We use his strength, his power, his name, his authority. Amen. So we were crucified with Christ, and I died with Christ. We were buried with Christ. We suffered with Christ. And we were made alive with Christ, and what? Raised together with him. That's what Ephesians says. When we were yet dead in sin, he raised us up together with him to be seated with him where? In heavenly places, in Christ. Hallelujah. So when he rose from the dead, we rose along with him. When he was justified, we were justified. When he conquered sickness and disease, I was right there with him. So did I. In him. When he conquered death, so did we. In him. I'm in him. Hallelujah. When he spoiled principalities, this is Colossians 2:15, when he spoiled principalities and powers, so did we. In him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he defeated the power, all powers and forces. Now, turn over to Colossians chapter 3 a moment. Colossians chapter 3. We can begin to see who we are in Christ. Let's look at verse 1. Chapter 3. It says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Now look at verse 3. What does it say? For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Our life is hid in Christ. Hallelujah. That's why the devil hates you, because he doesn't see you. he sees the one that whooped him. And as I like to say, kicked his. B-U-T. But out of there. In other words, he spoiled him. He disarmed him. He paralyzed him. And so when he sees you, he sees the one that did that. And he hates you. But see, he doesn't want you to know who you are in Christ. He doesn't want the truth of that, because when you know it, he's got no more control over you. When he says, do this, you go, oh, no, no. Get on out of here. You're defeated. And you know it. How many, see, I've listened to a few of Brother Hagin's tapes through the years, and he would always talk about when he would get over in the spirit, he would see an imp or a demon spirit, and he'd say, he wouldn't shout at him, he'd just say, you know, you've got to go. You've got to go. And they saw him. They'd know who he was in Christ. They knew who he was. And they'd say, yeah, I know. I don't want to, but if you say so, I have to go. Yes. See, we all be shouting and hollering and carrying on, but when you know who you are, Amen. And something comes up against you, you just say, no, you've got to go in the name of Jesus. You can't stay here. I'm thinking about the time that I was home when my sister was getting married, and I've shared this before, but it's so poignant to me in my life that when I was home reading the Bible, her fiance was in the house. She was at a shower, bridal shower, and he wanted to talk. And it was really, I accommodated him. Because I was reading the Bible. I really didn't want to be bothered. Has anybody ever been there? Yeah. And that's how it was. See, so I'm not talking something strange, right? Okay. Thought I was talking something strange. So anyways, the longer he talked, I knew something wasn't right. And we left my room and we went into the living to the dining room, and we began to talk. And in an instant, I'm talking about just that quick. You couldn't have thought that quick. It was, you know how when it says, in the twinkling of an eye, he jumped up from the table and got in my face right here. I'm serious, right here. And beat his chest and said, the devil lives in here. At the top of his lungs, and his eyes were bright red. It just changed that quick. He was talking real smooth and calm, and just in an instant, he's up here. And in an instant, just that quick, it felt like a coat went on me. I never experienced anything like it. It felt like a coat came on me. It was his anointing. And up out of my spirit, you can't think that fast. You're like, up out of my spirit came, Roberto, I'm not afraid of demons or devils. I'm protected by the blood of Jesus. Just that quick. And this is what he did. He walked out of the room and wouldn't look at me for 3 days. He was in the house. Every time I walked in the room, he'd turn his head and walk out. So I know. And there's some other experiences I've had, but you know this. When you use the name of Jesus, the devil's got to bow. Amen. He's been disarmed. He's been disrobed. He's been paralyzed. And he doesn't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to identify with your mind and your heart. He doesn't want you to identify and say, no. Who do you think you are? Tempting me with that. Who do you think you are? Coming into my house to cause strife. Who do you think you are putting sickness and disease on me? Who do you think you are causing me to walk out of love? I'm in Christ. Get out. And that's when you know that, when something comes into your presence, you'll stand right up. You'll say, no, you won't. Is that not true? But you see, when we don't know, we begin to wrestle with flesh and blood. And we don't wrestle against the very dude that was defeated. Let me read this, Galatians 3:27. It says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Not going to put on Christ. It says, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ. This is Galatians 3:27. If you've been baptized into Christ, it says you've already put on Christ. See, this isn't something that we have to try to attain. We've already attained it. We've already been delivered. We have already been set free. We already are in Him. I used this example the other day in 2 Corinthians and 5, it says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When you are in Christ, you've been made right with God. You've been made the righteousness of God in Him. Let me ask this question. How many were born a male? Now, if I don't see your hand up, I'm going to begin to wonder, you don't know who you were born. I'm looking around. How many were born a male? Okay. This is not gender neutrality here. How many were born a male? Okay. Can you become any more male than you are? How many were born a female? See, the ladies, they're quick to put their hand up. See, they know who they are. The men sometimes, I wonder. They're wondering. Now, ladies, can you become any more female than you are? No. So let me ask this question. If you have been made the righteousness of God in Him, can you become any more righteous? No. You are the righteousness of God in Him. You are righteous. You can't become any more righteous. You can't become any more saved. It is no longer you that live, but Christ that lives in you. Hallelujah. So His name, think about this, is the name of a conqueror. And I am baptized into His name. If I'm baptized into Christ, then I'm baptized into His name. And I bear this name. I bear the name of a conqueror. Yes. I bear his name. Yes. So I am a conqueror in him. Yes. Now let's look at Galatians 6 for a minute. Galatians chapter 6. And let's look at verse 14. I'm going to read it in the King James. And then I'm going to read it in another translation, but the King James Version first. It says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." See, we've been delivered from the power of darkness. He's the god of this world. Satan is. This is the New Living Translation. In Galatians 6:14, it says, "As for me, God forbid that I should boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world died long ago. And the world's interest in me is also long dead." See, if you're in Christ, your interest in this world should have died. We live in this world, but we are not of it. It doesn't mean that we don't have things and God doesn't bless us, but it says, what does it say? My interest in this world has died. This is the Good News Translation. It says, "As for me, however, I will boast only about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. For by means of his cross, the world is dead to me, and I am dead to the world." See, we live in this world. We have to go to work. We have things that we need, houses we buy, cars we buy, but we're dead to the things of this world. They don't have a pull on me. Does that make sense? Yes. I don't chase after them. My passion, I chase after Christ and his things. Set your affections on things above. Seek ye first. You know that scripture verse. It says, "Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" And it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." See, so we're not pulled by the world's lusts for things. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is the Living Bible, Galatians 6:14. "As for me, God forbid that I should boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in all the attractive things of the world was killed long ago. And the world's interest in me is also long dead." So those things that pull this world to grab and to take and to fight over, that's died in us. Well, I'll say it this way, it should have. It should have. And why should it? Because as he is, so are we to be in this world. See, God's kingdom, God's interests are about his program. It's about us reaching people and giving God the glory, so that whatever we do, He gets the glory. See, this is not our home. It's people that we're reaching. What did He say? Go into all the world and make disciples of all men. He didn't say go into all the world and hoard up stuff. See? Is that everybody on board with that? So He died as our representative. Now we live as His representatives or ambassadors. You see. Let me read this, and you're familiar with this scripture. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. I like this is the New Century Version. It says, so we have been sent to speak for Christ. It is as if God is calling to you through us. We speak for Christ when we beg you to be at peace with God. So we are His representatives here. He's seated in heaven. He's representing us in heaven. We're representing Him here. We have been baptized into Him. And you are a new creature in Christ. You've been baptized into Christ, into the name. And think about that. Your life is hid in Christ. You could say, my life is hid in the name. My life is hid in the name. And what does that mean? Let's look at Philippians. Thinking of this particular scripture verse. Philippians 2:9, wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess, glory to God, that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we've identified with Him, and because we've identified with Him, we are now His representatives on this earth. Hallelujah. So your faith is in Christ. What did that scripture say? Let's look at that one more time in Galatians 2. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live, I now live in the flesh. I live how? By the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, gave Himself for me. Hallelujah. So you are somebody. You are the body of Christ. You are His representatives. And that's why the devil fights so hard to get the body of Christ to fight with one another and fuss with one another over things. And he's the very one that's been defeated. He's been spoiled. If the body would just rise up and say, no, I'm not going to do that. that we would see some things, some changes. That's why I've shared recently, it just is a stirring in me. I can't explain it. It's spiritual. There's a knowing, a stirring that Jesus is coming soon. And we need to be about his business and his work. We need to be sharing with people the good news of the gospel. There's this knowing he's coming soon, and there's also this, I can't explain it, just a prayer in me to pray for this government and president to not author or support or push or make the wrong choices concerning Israel. And there's just this burden in me to pray for him, because we will be held accountable. And the Bible says that we are to pray for kings and for all those in authority, that we would lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. For this is good and acceptable in the will of God, who would have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. And so we need to pray for this president and those that make the rules in this country, because there are spirits that are arranged to force them. They hate God. I'm not talking about the president. I'm talking about the devil and his spirits hate God. And they're going to cause people to make the wrong choices. We need to pray that they make the right choices and continue to pray for them so that we live a quiet and peaceable life. Hallelujah. And because we have the name, and because we're in Christ, we can stand up. And as it says in Matthew 18:18, what things soever we forbid in earth is what? Forbidden in heaven. And whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So we can stand up and forbid the devil to influence our government and president. We've been given dominion and authority here to do that, and a charge to. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I can tell you that what we have at our disposal, the name of Jesus, comes through our identification with him. Why? Because we've been baptized into Christ. We've been baptized into the name. And because of that, we've been given the authority to use the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. You know, sometimes, I say it this way, we here may know that. Well, I know that. But there are so many, 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 many that don't know that. You can tell by how they pray. You can tell by how they talk. They don't know who they are in Christ. Let's turn over here just as we close. Let's look at these two scriptures as we close. In John 14 and John 16, John 14, verses 12 through 14. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now let's look at John 16, 23 and 24. It says, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. What day is that? That's the day we're living in this dispensation. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask, who? So this is prayer. You're asking the Father something. In what? In his name, he will give it you. Hitherto or up till now, have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. I tell you, this is a blank check, isn't it now? Signed in the name of Jesus. He just said, whatever you ask, ask the Father in my name, and he will give it you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we can see here, from what we've saw this morning here from the scripture, that we are alive in Christ. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me. We've been baptized into Christ, and our life is hid in him. Death has been defeated. Sickness has been defeated. Poverty's been defeated. Strife has been defeated. Death has been defeated. He holds the keys of hell, of death and hell. So when you're confronted in life, you are already in the name. Use it. You have the right. You're his representative here. Use the name of Jesus. Remind the devil that he's defeated. You know, so often, let's look at this one last scripture. Mark, let's look at Mark 11 for a minute. Mark 11, 23 or 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. We need to say, and continue to say, what he says, what he says about us. And so often, what can happen is in a tough spot, we know in our mind, we know, well, I'm a new creature, and my life is hidden in Christ, but it sure doesn't look like it at this moment. And we'll start saying something contrary to what the Bible says. But this says here, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things that you say, you shall have whatsoever you say, not what you believe. See, you can believe you're an overcomer, but you can say something contrary to that. And sometimes that's what will defeat us. We believe we're overcomers, but then we have some stuff going on in our lives where pressure comes. And what's in your heart is going to come up and out in times of pressure. Or it can. I'm not saying it will, but it could. But at those times, you need to get a hold of some things and say, no, I'm not going to say that. Even if, and I've said this, how many, you know this is true, if a person tells a lie long enough, at some point they will believe the lie. I said, at some point. It's no different when you say, well, you know, I don't necessarily believe that right now. Just keep saying what the Word says. And at some point, faith will come and you will believe the Word and it'll come up and out. Amen. In times of pressure. So when we are in peacetime or in hard times, we need to say what the Bible says about us. If it doesn't look like the devil's spoiled in your life, you need to remind him that he is. If he doesn't look paralyzed in your life, you need to remind him that he is. If your body has a symptom, you need to remind your body that you're already delivered from sickness and disease because Jesus did it. He spoiled that in hell. And so we need to get our confession sometimes in line with the Word and apply the scripture, the principle here, which is, and from another lesson, don't ever face your mountain with your mouth closed. Face your mountain. See, here's the thing. A mountain can't get any bigger. You need to face it and speak to it. But say what God's Word says about you. My life is hid in Christ. And when that mountain sees me, it sees Christ. It sees all of the power of the Godhead in me. Isn't that what the Scripture says? We are complete in Christ. And the fullness of the Godhead is where? So let's remind ourselves. Let's continue to remind ourselves. I will say this, that the closer you get to the objective that God has for you, there's going to be resistance to stop you, to frustrate you, to kill you. I can name off right now 3 times that I should have been dead and know it. Probably maybe more than that. From my youth forward. Just in this ministry here, 3 times. One time the Lord told me if I didn't, I would be dead. And 2 other times should have been. And I'm thinking of another time when I was young, should have been. So the devil, when the hand of God is upon you, he's going to try to kill you. He tried to do it to Jesus, but he couldn't. He couldn't kill him. And we need to just remind him, you can't touch me, you can't have my life, you can't have my family, you can't have my finances, you can't have my children, you can't have my stuff. I'm redeemed from you. That's why you just get right up and say, I'm redeemed from you. I'm delivered from you. You can't touch me. You can't have me. I'm redeemed. And Christ lives in me. And if you have to say it through grit teeth, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. So this week, let's make a choice, a decision, that as we go through our daily tasks in life, when we get confronted with some things, or if you're right in the middle of some things, you continue to say who you are in Christ. You are not defeated. You're an overcomer in him. And the blessings of God are yours. Glory to God. Think about that. He died so that you could be delivered. He died so that you could be prosperous. He died so that you could be free from sickness and disease and hate. So let's remind the devil when he comes knocking, you're defeated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. Bless God, bless God, bless God, bless God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Thank you for all that you did for us in Christ through your Son. Thank you that you've delivered us. Thank you that our lives are hid in Christ. Thank you that it's no longer us that are alive, but Christ that lives in us. We live in this flesh, but it's Christ who lives in us. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you that we don't have to go through life stumbling through life, but we're overcomers and victors in this life. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your word that has all power in it. And we thank you today, Father, for the finished work of the cross. Thank you for his resurrection and his resurrection life. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.